Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
Yeah, it's like I do this interview with some of our lender members inside the TMC family, which I did Jeff. And not very often do people make the conscious decision to initially come into mortgage, let alone leave and 10 years later come back in. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining us today. This is the last week in mortgage today. I am Beth Howard Mooney from the Mortgage Collaborative. We're going to give it just 30 seconds or so here to let some additional people hop into the call. So hang with us. While we're waiting, number one, we'd love to hear from you in the chat. And if you have any questions for Rich or I as we get going, would love to have those show up in the chat. But while we're waiting, tell me what you're loving about your summer and what you got going on. We'd love to hear from some of you. So let me know who's out there listening to us today. So, I mean, you're in an ideal spot then for summer for you in Northern Michigan. It's got to be beautiful up there at this time of year.
Right. Yeah, we're not getting the heat waves that many are getting. It's usually mid-70s to low-80s, sunny most every day. So it's great.
Oh, that is kind of ideal. I don't think of, you know, we get that warm in the summer, of course, too. And hi, Erin D. Oh, glad you're in North Carolina and still tuning in with us from your summer camp. Appreciate you being here today. Yeah, we get warm. We've been really warm, actually, warmer than normal here. Or what I was accustomed to a long number of years ago. So, well, I think we will get started here. Really, really happy today to have someone who I have known. We just figured out it was from 1993, which seems impossible. But I am joined today by Rich Harkwell, who is the SVP and Chief Sales Officer at Waterstone Mortgage. Rich, thanks for doing this with me today.
Oh, you got it. Great to reconnect with you. It's been so long.
Yeah, I know. I think the last time we talked, we were just talking before when everyone was hopping on here that Rich actually left mortgage for 10 years and then came back into mortgage, which I think is kind of unusual. The last time I think we talked, you were still in the insurance business.
Right.
So it has been a while. Well, share with us a little bit so people kind of, you know, get your view and have your perspective of Waterstone and who Waterstone is and kind of what you got going on right now there.
Yeah. Well, a little background on Waterstone for those who don't know it. Company is actually based out of Pewaukee, Wisconsin. And if you don't know where Pewaukee is, it's not far from Milwaukee. So we're in the suburban area there of Milwaukee. And we're actually a bank-owned company, so Waterstone Bank, also based in Milwaukee there. So it's our parent company and a great partner. The mortgage business itself has been around for, you know, 20-plus years. So, you know, pretty consistent player in the industry, solid performer, you know, nice growth over the years. The company's led by our CEO, Jeff McGinnis, who, Faith, you know Jeff as well from our background all working together back in the early days of the mortgage industry. You know, as far as kind of the coverage of the business, we're in probably over 30 markets, you know, around the country. We've got some larger concentrations down in Florida and New Mexico, Texas, Arizona. You know, so we've got some good presence down in those areas, but a nice list of branches going up the East Coast, also certainly in the center of the country with our roots being there. And so we've got a kind of mix of branches and locations around the country. And, you know, it's really, as we've kind of achieved that footprint, you know, there hasn't been a very conscious effort to say, okay, we want to be in this market. We got to be in here. We got to be in there. You know, our company is really about the people. We're very focused on talent and having the best talent and getting the right people who kind of fit our culture and our organization. You know, so we've gone more after talent and leadership, and you know, then that's presenting a market opportunity to us. And so I think strategies work well because we've got folks who've been with us for many, many years, you know, a lot of tenure within the organization. But we've also invested pretty heavily over the past 12 months, bringing some new folks on. We've had some great growth and interest in our business model. So, as we all know, in this industry, it's kind of a challenging market out there, both from a production standpoint and kind of who your partner is and who your platform is that you're working with. And so, you know, it's opened some doors for us for some new talent. But we have, you know, roughly 250 loan officers around the country. So, you know, good stable of talented production out there. We are 100% retail focused. You know, that is our mission. That is our commitment to everyone on our team, that is our focus. And that's what we base our business model on, how we support them. And I would say we've got, you know, kind of an entrepreneurial culture. We, as mentioned earlier, bring in talented people who know how to run their business, who are experienced in the industry, and we really provide them the platform to kind of build and run their business and provide them the support. So we're not a real top-down organization that says, here's the model, here's the standards, here's how you got to do it. We really, really want people to feel ownership around their business and how they run their business. So it's an exciting group to be with. And we've won several industry awards for the culture and for our production, but one we're very proud of. Service is number one for us. We have an NPS score month after month, year after year in the 90s, which is really unheard of in both this industry and pretty much any industry. So pretty proud of certainly what we deliver to our customers.
Yeah, that's why you've been such a great partner within TMC as well, because I always say that it's all about the people. We've always been about the people. And that's what makes it such a great thing to collaborate and everything within the industry. We're going to talk a little bit more about your staff and the things that you've got going on, along with the topics of what is going on in the industry today. We're in a Fed quiet period. Next Fed meeting is the 26th, which is a week and a day away. Anticipating another increase in rates. I wasn't familiar with CME Group's FedWatch tool, but I found that this week out there that it says 92.4% that we'll see another increase in rates. So that seems like that's going to happen. It's more of a stable to increasing rate environment right now. I would love for you to share any feedback you have on, you know, obviously you've got people selling that haven't sold maybe for several years, except for the last year, or people new into the environment. So share with me feedback that you have on like tools and stuff or training that you found to be selling in this type of an environment that we're in.
Yeah, certainly it's a challenging environment out there and everyone needs to be on their game. You know, that's one of the things that we really promote, that, you know, the professionals who are talented, know their business, you know, really focused on using all their tools are the ones that are going to be most successful in this environment. And we've challenged our organization a couple of years back. Actually, when I joined, you know, we kind of put our mantra out there to our team that, you know, we aspire to be recognized as an elite performer in this industry. So that when people talk about Waterstone, both our referral partners, those in the industry, you know, they recognize us and say, you know, that's an elite group. You know, it's someone that sets themselves apart. They distinguish themselves by what they do and how they do their business. And so with that, you know, we've really focused, as you asked the question, you know, around your tools and what you're using to navigate an environment like this or any other environment. And so, you know, one of my roles is really helping power that platform for our branches and for our sales force out there. And so, you know, one of the tools certainly is information and education. You know, you've got to make sure, just, you know, like topics like this, that people are on top of what's going on in the industry, what the market's doing out there, what are the forces that are affecting our customers, our referral partners. You know, and so we do a lot of what we call our elite force sessions, which range from informational sharing on a regular basis of relevant market data, information, things that are going on in the industry, to specific training sessions, you know, that we have on relevant topics of, you know, either the time of year of the business or the market conditions, whatever it may be. And we have, you know, members of our team that are leading this, or we're bringing outside people in to perform these sessions. And we do it on a regular basis. We have two to three, you know, a month that we cover with our sales force. So, We're really about them being up to speed on the information that's going on, understanding the best practices of those who are being successful, and learning from others. So we really try to create a culture of collaboration and information sharing. But then we also kind of get down to their core tools. We really drive home using your CRMs and all the capabilities within those CRMs to work your database, stay in touch with your customers. And so that's critical because you got to use those tools to stay connected to your customers. And we also do, we become a little more data-centric organization, and we use data more for information. What are the trends that are going on within your business, with your sales force? How are you comparing to your peers who are successful out there? And then also industry comparisons, benchmarks there. And so we have what we call our elite metrics, which are our standards that we really strive to perform to. And our people can see those things real time every month and how they're performing, from the LOs to the branch leaders. So it's all this kind of information and training and tools that they have, from our perspective is, kind of the recipe that really helps them get through very challenging times like this.
Yeah. Now is not a time to remain in your own bubble. That is right. For sure. I mean, it's hard to do business on good times by yourself. It's definitely much easier if you've got great support, for sure. So you're out there recruiting and hiring. I would love for you to share with us like the attributes you think that make, you've been in sales for 30 years. Mm-hmm. What do you think the attributes for an LO, the best ones to have in this type of environment?
Yeah, for us, we certainly want to cultivate new talent coming into the industry, into this business. So that's important. We know we need to do that to continue to be a vibrant, growing organization. But I will say we've tipped the scales more towards experienced talent right now, just because it is so challenging. You've got so much production capacity, out there that's fighting for every deal. And so, bringing someone new and with very limited connections and relationships in this industry, it's hard for them to set themselves apart and distinguish themselves. So, on the one hand, if we're investing in someone new, we got to make sure we partner them with some experienced talent and that they've got a close partner there so that they can navigate this environment and learn from that. And so we have what are kind of our junior LOs that are kind of partnered up with those more senior LOs. And that's where we make those investments with that new talent. And with that new talent, we're looking for certainly people who've got good disciplines in their sales activities, someone who's very willing to learn. If you bring someone new in that, from your perspective, you don't think they're going to be as willing to learn, this isn't an environment where someone new can come in and say, hey, I got it all figured out. They have got to really thirst for learning in this, and they got to be a sponge. And so we're looking for that type who says, I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I'm going to follow the directions of those who are really successful in this environment.
Yeah. So drive is, I always say that if people want to do it, that outweighs almost anything else. Your desire to get something done and do it the right way is pretty paramount.
Yeah. And on that experience side, certainly we're looking that they've got a solid performance history, that it's something that's consistent. It fits our profile of business that they're going after. And then, as I mentioned earlier, just some of the cultural fit that, they're somewhat entrepreneurial themselves. They're not looking for everything to kind of be done for them, that they know they've got to kind of roll up the sleeves and work in an entrepreneurial environment.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the interest rates and kind of like in general, like where they are. Only a tenth of mortgages have an interest rate above 6%. Probably not surprising to anyone. 14 million outstanding mortgages were refinanced during the pandemic. So that was that crazy busy time where we were all in our houses and not going anywhere. And that was everybody, I think, in the industry worked long extra hours to get all of those transactions done. How have you seen an impact in the markets that you have served with people just aren't moving, and they're feeling the new term is locked in because they're locked into that interest rate. And even to downsize, they're probably going to be paying more in a mortgage payment, even if they downsize their house at this point, if there's somebody looking to do that. So share with me how you've seen that impact the markets that you're in, or, you know, if you have seen an impact.
Oh, it definitely has. And I know for the audience out there, they're feeling the same thing, you know, that the inventory side of the equation is just, you know, not there and very strained. You've got that kind of locked in consumer who, in a better environment, you know, may have been looking to move up, move down, move out, you know, a lot of things that they may have considered, but right now, you know, they're kind of sticking to the status quo. And then on the new construction side, although we've got, you know, decent activity out there, we just don't have the new inventory, you know, coming in as much as we need to kind of backfill that inventory that we're not getting from the more traditional existing homes that would go on the market. And so really, really challenged. It's funny, I get on a lot of the calls with the branch leaders and, you know, they'll recite to me their inventory numbers in their market. You know, here's the number of listings we have out here. And, you know, here's what we've got for buyers. And, you know, and so, you know, that's telling that they're just, you know, so attuned to those numbers in their market. So yeah, it's really affecting the inventory side. You know, certainly these rates are, you know, affecting the consumer, you know, and in their buying power, just the financial realities of it. You know, it's, when you look at double the amount of almost what they were paying before is going towards interest, and about half of that is going towards principal, you know, on a traditional mortgage. That's a whole different financial equation when you look at, you know, the investment of home ownership today. So it's really kind of transformed the financial side of the equation for the buyer, which is causing them to be very sharp and thoughtful about what they do. Every dollar counts, every opportunity on the interest rate, you know, their payments, you know, all of that, far more conscious today than they were 24, 36 months ago.
That's knowledgeable. I think it has driven, you know, people to be much more knowledgeable about what's going on, because they have to be in a lot of instances. Obviously, you know, what's going on with the market and the scarcity of homes in some places drives competition. So, how has that played out in your market? What are you seeing, more aggressive competition? And is it just on rate, or is it on other things? Share with me what your teams have kind of been seeing out there.
Well, yes, competition is fierce, you know, out there. And, you know, every transaction, you know, really is a battle to get that. You know, we've got the strength of our relationships. We've got the strength of our service model. We've got depth of product options, you know, that we are able to offer our customers. So, you know, that's certainly value added to the consumer out there and how they look at us versus anyone else. But rate right now seems, is certainly the obsession. You know, it's certainly what is promoted out in the media. Customers looking at it purely from their payment and their ability to afford that house and what they are going to be spending on a monthly basis to get it. And so there is really less attention on the fee side of it. And so some of our studies we've gotten out there, we're seeing fees, you know, creeping up there with our competition. And so it's really been kind of a battle on the rate side of the equation. And we're seeing in that battle, you know, there's some crazy pricing deals that we come across regularly every day. I can't tell you, you know, how many I get notices of, oh my gosh, you would have, can't believe what I just came up across from a competition standpoint. And that's frustrating, because, you know, certainly it hits the mindset of our producers. And, you know, if they had 10 deals before and now they're working on five, and, you know, losing one out of five is very different than losing one out of 10. So it's a challenge.
Well, you just did the greatest segue into what I wanted to talk about next. So FHFA's inaugural Velocity Tech Sprint was this last week. I had the opportunity to listen in on some of the conversations there, and I love it. Every week I try to find a new acronym that somebody has created out there in the mortgage industry for us to learn. And so one of the ones that were out there was ZIRP. And I'm like, ZIRP, what the heck? Zero interest rate phenomenon. The feeling that people have now that rates have gone up, that they're kind of like stuck in that rate place. So in the past, which this isn't the normal of anything that I think any of us have seen happen, even if we've been in a long time before, But people have kind of like gotten accustomed to what's in front of them. So do you think that people really are kind of like stuck in thinking that it's going to go back down to that very, very low rate? Or do you think people are going to kind of naturally over time as they adjust to things and see things that people will adjust to kind of where we're at now and where rates kind of stabilize at?
Yeah, it is an interesting phenomenon. I think in our counseling typically to customers right now is they're going to have to expect even when we do see kind of rate reprieve here in the future, going back to those levels that we saw, you know, as a result of the pandemic, highly unlikely to get back to those levels, simply because it occurred because of this very traumatic event for the world and certainly for our economy and the consumer out there. So, the likelihood of that again repeating itself, is low. But we are certainly advising on the fact that this environment right now, you got to look at it as temporary, that there will be opportunity down the road where interest rates will either plateau or improve from this. And so you got to kind of look at what's that period of time that you got to manage the current state of what we have. But we're also being realistic with them that if you're going into this house thinking, okay, it's going to refi in 2 years from now, and I'm going to get back to 2% something, don't be buying on that strategy right now, because that
may not happen.
Right. So we are certainly educating on what you got to set your right expectations on and what you're getting into in the financial plan that you have to have with that. But even as I mentioned earlier, the challenge that people are recognizing is, the how they built equity before in that low interest rate environment, and the principal payments that are going in versus the interest, it's a whole different mix right now, and that's a concern that we have. Certainly, looking out 5+ years, is what's the position of these buyers currently in their equity position, and how will they be in a position if they're going to move up? And so those are kind of future pressures that this environment, certainly will have an impact on.
I completely agree with that. So until this week, I thought I was like the only nerdy mortgage person out there that uses apps to drive by neighborhoods and see houses and find out like what they're worth and everything. But I found out this week that I am not alone in that. So the other term that I heard this week that just made me laugh was real estate porn. And that is those individuals who are searching through real estate listings on real estate apps and fantasizing about the beautiful houses that they see out there that they may or may not ever be able to afford. I think that impacts people and how they think about buying too, because you have access to all this information now and you see these beautiful homes and then rates go up and you're no longer eligible to buy. But I thought that was a funny one to come out at FHFA as well. It's like, oh, I'm not alone in that. Moving on, the some of you will completely understand why this caption of their or this descriptor of this article caught my attention. It said, "In the housing market, men are losers." I thought, what in the world? And then I thought, well, there are some. So I kind of laughed at that and then read the article, which is what it was intended to do, I guess. It really was talking about how single women are fantastic, which should have been the heading of the article. More single women own homes than single men, which I just thought was interesting to kind of like look at that. And it's been going on for quite a while that this has been, and no real hardcore reasons on why it has happened. But prior to 1974, so that's the number that's out there for people that haven't been in forever. Prior to 1974, it was not legal for women to secure a mortgage without a man. So this has all happened since 1974 until now. Single women are dominating in that market. They live longer. Marriage rates are declining. It's been proven that they make more sacrifices to their wish list in finding a house. Single women own 10.76 million homes. Single men own 8.12 million. So I just thought data, we talked about data a little bit earlier, and the data is always interesting to kind of go back and look at it. you know, you're in an environment right now where your team is having to generate their own leads, definitely. And they have 20 other people that are calling on those same individuals. Do you ever use stats like this with your team to kind of like spur innovation in their thinking of, oh, that's a single person, they don't have kids, whatever, they're not going to buy, and kind of get their brain turned around a little bit? Just kind of curious, and if you ever use any type of data like this to spur their curiosity.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you were a very organic organization. And so kind of those data insights and those market insights come from our field. And you know, we provide kind of the platform that enables them to talk about niche areas that they're having opportunities, where they're seeing success. And so those insights usually come from our field. We share it broadly, and then they start collaborating on those things. And then you find others that go out and pursue it. We had, you know, one of our LOs who, you know, spoke about, you know, talking about the marriage situation, you know, spoke about a niche opportunity with working with divorce attorneys and some of the things that they've done out there, and really how they've built a meaningful practice, just very targeted in that area. And some of it based on trends like what you're describing, where there's that opportunity. So yes, we do that, but it's really more organically generated from our field and what they've accomplished out there and what they're seeing.
Fantastic. Another thing that's been in the news this week a lot, not just related to mortgage, but climate change and how it's been the warmest that it's ever been. I'm in Minnesota, so I like it that we're trending a little bit more that way, but also understand the climate risk. In addition, this week, Farmers Insurance announced it would not renew a third of its policies in Florida. I think they were primarily around that Naples area that got hit really hard. You have a background in insurance as well. I just see something coming down in the future, not thinking that it's immediate lit, but that there is going to be someday in the future that risks become part of the pricing of a loan. As someone on the sales side, do you think that eventually will happen?
Well, the first thing I would say is I'm not surprised by some of these insurers doing that, having been in the industry and seen, you know, the impact it has. You know, you're going to see more of it. So it's a trend that's going to grow, and it certainly has an implication, you know, of in these markets where that occurs, you know, the profile of buyers and consumers who will be going in there, because if they don't have a lot of options, you're going to have someone who's more financially astute and capable to invest in those types of areas. So those dynamics are going to have big impacts, you know, in certain markets like that. To your question on the risk-based pricing, I don't know that I see that. I think at the end of the day, someone who's the investor behind these mortgages, they want the protections that are going to be there, and certainly insurance being, you know, that protection. And I don't know that you can build in enough risk-based pricing to provide that type of risk protection on a catastrophic event or a meaningful event to property. I think what will happen is you're going to have more product innovation. You're going to have different players who will come in and be the risk transfer component. It will be costly for those that have to do it, but there will be different product innovation that will facilitate the risk transfer that's needed for that investor behind the loan that wants their traditional protections for originating that mortgage.
So for people that like love to live in those markets that are probably always going to live in those markets, it's probably just more of somewhere in the equation, there's probably going to be a bigger price to pay somewhere along the line.
Yeah, absolutely. The cost of home ownership there is changing in those markets. And then, as mentioned, you know, I think you'll start seeing the profile of buyers and a lot of different forces that will transform those markets from what they are today.
Do you ever think there's a time and a place on like the Outer Banks or Naples or Florida in general that gets hit in places where in some of those environments they don't ever rebuild?
Yeah, certainly those situations I think have occurred, and you're going to see more of that. And you know, kind of transforming, you know, the properties themselves and what their kind of use is in those areas, because, you know, you gotta make it productive. I will say, being up in Northern Michigan, we see a lot of people who are coming up here and saying, hey, got to get out of certain markets. We're seeing a lot of growth in this area.
Yeah, I can. You're kind of like in, based on what you shared earlier, you're kind of in a very ideal, nice spot to be in. And everybody that I know of that heads up into that area definitely makes plans to go back. So we're at the bottom of the hour. It always happens so quickly. I'm always so surprised. I have loved our conversation today. Please do not be a stranger. We really appreciate Waterstone and all you've done to participate within the collaborative. For those of us joining us here, come back next week at the same time, the same place. We look forward always to hearing from you and seeing you on the show. So appreciate you, Rich. Thank you so much for doing this with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.